This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host Bea Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org and we'll explore interviewing them. We continue with another Community Voices event program, Revitalizing Downtown Springfield, a Next 10 project, Extra Conversation. Chicago Loop Alliance President and CEO Michael Edwards shares how population loss in Illinois, Chicago in particular, affects downtown health.
When Chicago lost 100,000 African-American people, and that has changed significantly development patterns in and around downtown, specific to that particular group. You know, the loss of population in Illinois has been going on for quite a while, in Chicago especially.
Sticking with you, Michael, I wanted to talk a little bit about specifically organizational structure related to downtown management, because that is so key. And you have a wonderful history leading revitalization efforts in many cities under multiple different organizational structures and with different partnerships. Talk to us a little bit about the downtown organizations you've run, how they were structured to support revitalization, and how you work to build strategic partnerships to get big, complicated projects done.
I started my career in business improvement districts, downtown management in my hometown of Buffalo, New York. There, it was a business improvement district as the organization, and that was it. In Spokane, there was a business improvement district board of directors. There was the downtown Spokane partnership board of directors. And then we wanted to do economic development, so we began a 501c3 economic development so that we could actually do projects ourselves. When I got to Pittsburgh, there was the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, which was the organization, and the BID was just inside of that group. It was actually the same board of directors. And then here in Chicago, we have the Chicago Loop Alliance. We have what's called an SSA, another whole board, and we have a foundation to do arts programming. So those are kind of how they're structured. It was interesting because in Spokane and in Chicago, the BID or the SSA it's not exactly a renegade group, but you know, they feel like they're the ones that pay the taxes, so they get final say. And you had to manage that. At the same time, you have the Chicago Loop Alliance or the Downtown Spokane Partnership, who's got all these dreams for our downtown. And so it was always a little bit of work to kind of keep them all on the same particular page. And so those structures are a bit of a challenge, but sometimes you can do some great things. The other thing I noticed in my career is that the downtown management group and the leadership of that group has to be connected to the hidden leadership within the city. So in Buffalo, that door to that group was partially open. In Spokane, it was very open. The day I got there, I'm like in the right offices. In Pittsburgh, it was pretty open. In Chicago, I can't find the door. I have no idea where the door is, and I've been here for 7 years. Management groups your board and your leadership have got to get you connected if you want to make an impact. You have to be connected, and then you can do big projects, like turning streets to two-way, putting in a whole park in the middle of downtown Pittsburgh. You can't do that unless you got the right people at the table.
Thank you, Michael. David, share a little bit. Michael referenced BIDs and SSAs. In Illinois, SSAs are essentially the BID mechanism. They have different names in each state. Can you just provide for people that are tuning in who maybe are not familiar with that mechanism, just give a brief overview of what these tools are and how they work?
I call it the genius in the middle. It's this hidden layer of governance within a community. I didn't say government, but governance. And back in the 70s, actually in an edge commercial area in Toronto, the business merchant community came together and they said, we'll invest some of our own resources into the public realm outside of our businesses. If the city of Toronto, will you just give us the authority to and help us collect the monies from ourselves, much like any association, and then let us put that to work inside the public realm. That's kind of the nature of all place management, is you have private sector businesses, enterprises, property owners who are contributing additional assessments, taxes, membership. And then you tend to have these not-for-profit management organizations whose board of directors represent private sector as well as public sector, who think about what strategies and tools and new programs can we do outside of the businesses themselves in the public realm to really make our place, you know, stronger, more vital, more vibrant, more active. And so to a citizen, they may say, oh, that parade was wonderful, not realizing that the parade was actually put on by the Merchants Association or by the downtown organization, or there's an extra level of cleaning services or activation of, you know, yoga in the park. Everyone wants to have yoga in the park. Tends not to be the municipality that's doing that. It's actually the improvement district. You mentioned they're called SSAs in Illinois. We looked across the country and I've got about 42 different names for this type of organization. So while Business Improvement District was kind of its infancy and its origination, now it's community benefit districts, it's special service areas, it's community improvement districts. It's much more holistic than just the business perspective. It's about embracing everyone in the community. So yes, to Michael's point, you can have a single entity organization, which just might be the SSA, or we're seeing growth in partnerships and alliances where you have not-for-profit event organizations, the 501 C3 Foundation for Economic Development, a C6 organization that is in fact the BID doing clean, safe operations on the sidewalk. It's this ecosystem of nonprofits that are going to work to leverage private sector resources to the benefit of the community as a whole.
One of the benefits of these increasingly complex downtown organizations and their ability to also diversify how they bring in resources and all of that and build partnerships is important in being able to get big, complicated projects done. And Lisa mentioned earlier that one of the ideas that has been percolating for downtown Springfield, and that certainly has emerged as a strong contender for a future downtown project, is the creation of a downtown university campus, including UIS and possibly SIU and others, focused largely on innovation, among other things. Several of you referenced in your opening comments and first questions the importance of having institutional partners like that being a driver for activity in a downtown core. Share with us a little bit about, you speak with and work with people all across the country and around the world on issues like that. Can you maybe share with us what you've seen in relation to successful university, college, educational campuses locating, co-locating in and around downtowns, and what maybe we should be thinking about should that emerge as a key project?
There are no silver bullets. So there's no recipe. There's no, you know, take project A, put it, place it inside of Springfield and it's going to work. There has to be a meaningful dialogue and thought process to understand what would the role of higher education, postgraduate education be in the downtown setting. What purpose? This began, I think the first example was when University of Penn, you know, inside of Philadelphia, kind of broke through its border and said, we realize we're part of a neighborhood. And they started to actively consider their role outside of the university grounds themselves. That's very traditional for a lot of the, what we call town gown environments, where you have an existing university whose job is education. They're not there to build community. They're there to teach and to educate and to research. And I would never want to lose that as the premise of the education institution is just that first and foremost. However, over time, as the idea of what is the continuing role of the university, that's where I think the interesting conversations emerge for downtown campuses, placements, or satellite type programs. Is it bringing the university because we already have knowledge workers in our downtown headquarter buildings that are looking for easy access to continuing education? Is it an innovation district that is standing up research and development in biomed adjacent to the university hospital system in the downtown or midtown core? What is the purpose of that innovation kind of campus? That's the critical piece that different jurisdictions have had to think about. So whether it's how do we break down the walls between campus and the downtown and create a better community engagement, or whether it's bringing Virginia Tech, alongside Amazon HQ2 in Crystal City outside of DC, because we're looking for that really tight connection between research, innovation, technology, and the evolving business models of Amazon. It's a much more strategic conversation than just bring a lot of students downtown so we have footfall and all the businesses are successful. There's a number of examples around. You know, I noted a couple there, say in Philadelphia. When I think about medical, I like to think about Cortex in St. Louis and the work of that district just outside of its medical center. We see what's happening with Virginia Tech and HQ2. In Toronto, that would be a wonderful example where Ryerson University really kind of opened itself to the core, not only as an educational institution, but also with kind of some cultural engagement of the citizenry as well. So there are a lot of opportunities, but I think the one thing I would mention is there needs to be kind of a clear, thoughtful conversation. And I think that that's what management organizations are best suited for. They can set the table for a lot of great exploratory conversations, again, between public sector, private sector, and philanthropic sector that looks at the long-term community goals as a whole.
Michael, did you have anything else to add? I know you mentioned some experience with university downtown partnerships in your background as well.
When they redid State Street here in Chicago, they purposely said that the northern part will be theaters, the middle part around the former Marshall Field store will be retail, and the southern part of State Street will be university. Today, there's 58,000 students, 20 different universities, public, private, for-profit, all within the area, 15,000 faculty. They all use the downtown as sort of the urban laboratory. And so when people come and people look at these campuses, it's purposely in a downtown so that you can be part of a more diverse urban experience that you might not get growing up in Bloomington, Minnesota, when you come to school here in Chicago. In Spokane, which is much like Springfield, it has a population of about 200,000, they did the research and found that there's all these people going to Seattle to go to medical school. And they got an actual number on that and decided, we need a medical school in Spokane. And so they went to Seattle and they convinced the University of Washington. They went south 80 miles to the Washington State University, a land-grant college, and they convinced them to open up campus programming in buildings in what now is called the University District, which is, in my opinion, not correctly located next to downtown. It should be in downtown, but it's quite a success. So they now have a medical school there. So it needs to be purposeful. It can't just be because we want more bodies downtown.
Springfield being a capital city, one of the things that provides both a significant opportunity and challenge here is the amount of government and activity and facilities that are here from state, county, local, and most of it all headquartered in downtown and located in downtown. How to work with government, how to ensure that government facilities and functions can add to a vibrant downtown. And I also want to weave in a question here as to how do you get elected officials, in particular city government, to really be part of developing and buying into the vision for downtowns and participating and getting projects done. And Lisa, I want to start with you because you're on the ground and you've firsthand seen both the opportunity and challenge that is related to this particular topic. So we'll start with you and go from there.
It's an interesting time. I mean, Springfield has been the seat of Illinois government for 180 years. And a lot of the size of the downtown was based on the fact that we were the home to agencies. So we have 10-story buildings in a downtown of our size because of the state presence. In the last few years, the state has changed how they interact. A lot of times they want to purchase a building because they feel like that's a better investment for the taxpayers than having leases. Springfield feels like they moved a lot of jobs to Chicago. And so we either lost jobs to Chicago or downtown lost jobs to anywhere in Springfield. And it's almost as if we think that, oh, well, at least if the jobs are going to stay in Springfield, they can go anywhere in Springfield as long as they stay here. Downtown has become less of the city center. It's been something that we've really been struggling with the last few years, really trying to have those conversations with state officials about What are you looking for? What would make a downtown building the best investment for taxpayers? We had a recent success with the Office of the Treasurer consolidating their 120 employees back in the heart of downtown. And, you know, they just opened in the last few months in their new location, but it is a struggle. Also the issue with the properties being owned by the state instead of leased means that that public-private partnership isn't there anymore, and we're taking buildings off the tax rolls. I think, Michael, you said it shouldn't just be about bodies, or maybe it was you, David, about some of these buildings. In many ways, we often want to choose the employees being in the heart of downtown versus whether they're on the tax rolls or not, you know, when we're looking at keeping the ecosystem going. That's the overview.
Downtown Springfield Inc.'s Lisa Clemens-Stott on the importance of keeping workers downtown, whether or not their buildings increase tax revenues. You're listening to a Next 10 Project panel, Revitalizing Downtown Springfield, on Community Voices. Community Voices is a way to get to know your neighbors in these isolated times. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m.
This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.